This is the official podcast for casual anime fanatics. On today's episode, we're discussing the highly anticipated anime called Solo Leveling. This is episode 8, titled, This is Frustrating. Hello anime fans and welcome to That Anime Podcast for casual anime fanatics, where we talk all things anime in a fun and uncensored fashion for your listening pleasure. I'm your host Jordo, and here with me as always, my co-host and kin, the baby brother Brennan. After a week off of Solo Leveling, it feels good to be back, and it felt like way longer than 1 week, if I'm being honest. As far as anime that you've been watching, have you been keeping up with Mash Lee and those ones that you're watching on Netflix still?
Yeah. I mean, I think I have one for Delicious in Dungeon, which I like that show a lot. I don't know. I think I either finished Frieren or I'm assuming there's only 24 episodes, but I actually don't know for sure. So if they're doing more than 24, then I have a few more left. And then with Mashley, yeah, I think I might have one, but I did watch, spoiler alert, for the next couple seconds, I did see him beat Margareto Macron.
Yeah.
That's the last episode I watched, so.
Yeah, so you are missing one more. It's such a good freaking show.
Yeah, it's really good, somehow. Not somehow, it's just like, it was always likable. Like, even the first season, it was just like a fun watch and good, but now it's like, legit contender for one of the best ones running right now.
I know it is. It's wild how they did it. I wonder if like the studio is also surprised at how big of a hit it is, or if they're like, yeah, we knew, you know.
I mean, the concept's good, and then I think it just really, it's really benefiting from the formula of the episodes, where it's just like they don't waste any time. Like, no episode, something happens pretty epic every episode. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like the thing that I like about it. Like, these fights are happening. Like, the last couple fights he's been in, like, some other shows would have fucking dragged that out for 4 episodes. But, like, they finish them pretty quickly.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just nice to have a main character not have to struggle all the time. Like, there's no training arcs in this show. He's just, he's been training his whole damn life. Like, he's fucking people up.
And he, like, struggles, but not...
He learns.
It looks like a lot of his fights, it looks like he might be struggling, but he always just like really kind of wasn't in a way.
It's he's figuring out how to win.
Exactly. But I like the format of like the one, maybe 2 episodes fight at the max, makes things nice and tidy and moves on to the next thing. Kind of Yu Yu Hakusho-esque, if you've noticed
that. Yeah, and I'm still, it is.
They're one and done episodes. Some of the bigger ones will carry over, obviously, but for the most part, they wrap them all the fights up in one.
Yeah, I just got to the arc. I finished the Dark Tournament arc of Yu Yu Hakusho, and now we've entered into the introduction of territories in Yu Yu Hakusho.
Like the territories in the spirit world or demon realm?
They just call it the territories. Like, it kind of feels like it's kind of domain-esque. Like, when you walk into someone's territories, you have to play by their rules.
Is it like that one dude who's like the former...
There were three of them. There were three guys. And it ended up being like they were all working for Genkai. Like, she tricked them.
I don't know if I remember that arc. And I don't want to spoil any other arcs for you. But
yeah.
Dark Tournament is pretty good, though.
Yeah, it is. I feel like this Tagoro guy is like so... I feel like I should have seen this guy around more. Like, in, like, pictures and, like, more, like, cosplays, but I don't think... Maybe it's just because the anime's so old.
Nobody's got the shoulders like that. How can...
I guess.
I guess steroid people, maybe.
It'd be such an easy cosplay. You just get, like, the... some freaking sunglasses shaped like some triangles. The old Squirtle sunglasses. And then a giant trench coat, SpongeBob SquarePants legs, and some boulder shoulders.
And a little puppet to sit on your shoulder. Depending on which era. So they kind of, and we'll spoil this just because it's old ass anime, but whenever he, you may have not got this in the dub, it's pretty ambiguous, but like in the original version, like he chose to go to hell at the end.
Yes, whenever. They said limbo instead.
Yeah, but he straight up like went to hell. And like when they dubbed it, because it was airing on like 4Kids.
Yeah.
They made it a little bit more cleaner, so Sacrifice was a little bit more dark.
Yeah. I know, he kind of, like, I wasn't expecting his character to have, like, a decent redemption, but he kind of did, like.
I mean, he's a pretty cool villain, like, he ain't, like, top tier, but, like, he's definitely pretty epic, and I understand, like, he's not that popular, you know, compared to, like, the Pains and shit of the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm shocked of. I'm shocked that he's not, like, more talked about.
Yeah, I think the age of the anime, and, you know, it wasn't really pop culturally relevant.
Yeah, old Tagoro. But other than that, I'm watching, you know, the same shit I'm watching every week. I started that new show on Hulu called Shogun. I watched the pilot episode.
It's only, they release it like a day after it airs on FX, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Darby. We're going to watch it for sure, but with the commercials and everything, I think we're going to let a few episodes come out so we can at least binge two or three. Because right now you're watching one and waiting a week, I'm assuming.
Maybe. I mean, you're going to have to still watch it with commercials on Hulu, by the way.
Yeah, but at least you can like finish one and then watch the next one, because I'm imagining it's airing like live on FX and they're not just going to release it on Hulu to for everybody to binge because they need the TV time too.
Yeah. I'll let you form your own opinion. I definitely am still waiting for the big, like, you know, hook to keep me. I think I watched like the first 20 minutes of episode 2 and then had to stop because my girls woke up from their nap over the weekend, and it's got some gory stuff, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners are also watching that kind of show because it's in the same category as anime, samurais. It's all fun stuff. But let's go ahead and start talking about some Solo Leveling. So this was episode 8 last week, as everybody knows, was a recap episode. And you always know it is when it's titled episode something 0.5. That means this shit isn't real. There's nothing new here. So this was episode 8, and the episode is titled "This is Frustrating." And Brennan, do you remember when he said this in the episode?
Yeah, he was just like thinking about it like in the street, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he was thinking about how he needs to level up, and
it's kind of like what we talked about in the last episode.
Exactly.
How he was going to have problems and probably end up having to go back to old rich boy, whose name I can't think of right now.
Gene Ho.
Yeah, just to get some good experience, because it's not like we were saying 2 episodes ago that he can't just be like, all right, I'm going to go on some B-raids. They're going to be like, dude, we don't want you. Like, you're dead weight.
I know, And it's just funny that we were talking about last week, like, he probably won't go back to Jin Ho. He's probably going to be, like, a villain, you know? But, you know, right off the bat, this episode, he's like, okay. Like, literally, the episode starts off, and he's at the hospital with his mom, holding her hand. She's got eternal sleep disease. He's thinking about how he needs the 3 ingredients to make the elixir of life. But in order to get the 3 ingredients, which are in the demon's castle, he's got to level up. He says, I need to get stronger. And every time he says this, his eyes are like glowing blue. Pretty sweet. Opening song plays. After watching it again, the opening song, do you think even more now that that's definitely some villain that he's fighting in the castle, the red Praetorian guard?
I don't know. I mean,
or do you think it's just a filler?
I hope it's not just a filler, but I mean, if it is, like, I'm not going to be too ducked about it. But it looks like, like I said, we haven't really had a humanoid boss yet, and those always make for better fights. Like, all his fights have been against giant creatures, like cutting up legs, stabbing eyes, dodging massive attacks, so it'd be nice to see, like, a more finesse fight.
Yep. No, it looks freaking cool in the opening. So, right after we get back from the song, Jinwoo is sitting with Jin Ho at the same cafe that he met with him the first time. And he decides to accept his offer. He says, I will join you on the 19 C-rank raids you mentioned on one condition. Like we mentioned, we knew he was going to have a condition. And he says, you and I will be going in alone. So, not really a surprise that they have to go in alone. Obviously, it works best that way. There's less people that have to know about him being way stronger than an E-rank. But I did note that Jinho, he still very much calls him boss. Like, he's like, yeah, of course, boss. Like, they're going to act like equals, but they are in no means equals. We learned that C-rank gates, they require a minimum of 18 members to enter. And Jinwoo suggests that they just hire people to meet the quota, like Dong Suk did. He says, think about it this way. If it's just the two of us, we can clear these 19 raids with no casualties. A strike team capable of handling 19 operations with zero injuries. Wouldn't that be perfect? The perfect thing to impress your dad with? And ultimately, Jinho is pumped. He's like, yes, let's do it. I'll take care of the extra members and the gates.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, what his plan is for the extra members. Just like pay him off and then make him sign NDAs that like, hey, you're coming in, just like come to the gate. Stand at the front and sign these if you say a fucking word about not helping. Like, you don't get your money.
Yeah, I bet you that they...
Because, I mean, there's going to be...
exactly that.
There's going to be six people that got paid and didn't do anything. Like, I'd take the money and not say shit.
I mean, there's going to be people in the... this, what is it? Sujin Construction or Yujin? Sujin Construction. There's definitely people in their employ that they can just be like, hey, you're going to go into this gate and then you're going to stay here right at the front, and if you say anything, I'll tell my dad, and you're fired, you know?
But there's always, I mean, even if that is the case, like, obviously there's going to be a weasel. There's always a weasel set up just to get the word out, you know? But
yeah, true.
That's the only way I could think that they'd be able to do it, because, I mean, obviously there's usually, like, somebody who kind of sees them go in, but I don't know, maybe you can just say these people signed up. And they can fabricate some fake IDs for people that don't exist.
Yeah, it is interesting how they're going to get these people to be quiet, because anybody that goes in or gets hired for a raid and then is like told, this is your job, don't freaking ask questions, don't go in past the gate. Like, you're going to go in and you're going to sit right there.
I'd be a little bit
sus. And not say anything. Everybody would be sus.
If you can walk out, I wouldn't be that sus, but... I mean, I would want to do it, but I'd be like, what? Like, are they trying to set me up? Like, I'd rather just get paid and then be like, go home. I'd do that.
Yeah, and maybe they'll do something like, hey, we want to keep you all safe. We think we can do these raids on our own. Here's a walkie-talkie. We'll call you if we need backup. Maybe, like, I mean, that's a route that I would feel less suspicious of versus just sit here, be quiet, don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to.
Or just freaking... I would just take the people with me, tell them to stay back, and buy Jinwoo, buy my man some armor with a mask, and just like say, just give him a fake name, you know, and just say he's like a B+ rank.
Yeah, that's another option they could do.
And they could just be like, who is this guy?
That's true. They should just freaking knight his ass up, get him that armor that Jinho was wearing that one time with
like,
a mask on.
Like, if he knew it was good for him, he'd be telling Jinho, like, yeah, and I'm going to need some gear, bro. Need some gear.
Get him a bird mask, like in Shangri-La Frontier. Nobody will know who he is. All right, so the next plot of this episode, S-rank hunter Cha Hyin. She's the S-rank that works for Guildmaster Choi. She's approached by Yujin Construction Recruiter. So she's hitting her daily laps. Which, you've got to note, the only other person we know that's freaking hitting laps and running is our boy, Jinwoo.
Yeah, but I think it's understood that they all train, because we've seen, like, I mean, we saw that one dude, the sideburns, who's in the episode later, like, destroy the place and be like, that wasn't even a warm-up.
So, like, fucking punching some titanium and be like, someone come clean this shit up.
Yeah, so they all work out, you know?
Yeah, it's just like, that guy at the gym, like, dude, can't you just, like, get dropped off of a jet and like go punch some mountains? Why do you got to do this in a gym, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
like, go, Go work for a demolition company and hit some buildings.
They're making money. There's no way the budget adds up. Like, even if you're making all that money from these raids, like, you're running, you're trying to be profitable. You ain't trying to just fix the building every time this guy's got to work out.
Yeah. So she can sense the guy. So she's got her wits about her, and he's kind of hiding around the corner. He says, "Sorry, I was looking for the right time to come out." And he hands her a business card. I paused it. This dude's name is Yoon Beomgil. So Beomgil. Yoon Beomgil. Which I think he is the older brother of Jin Ho. His name's literally Yoon, and he works for Eugene Construction. But he's the manager of personnel department for Eugene Construction, which is exactly what Jin Ho said his brother was doing. Gonna manage the team. But what do you think? Do you think that this is probably his brother, or you think that this is just some scout?
I think it's just some cog. Not a cog, maybe, but just like some shady Mr. Slugsworth type, you know?
Why not show us his face then, if it's a nobody? Like, I feel like
not a nobody. I don't think he's a family member. I think he's just hired, and I don't think they're really trying to recruit. I think they're just, like, putting out right now.
Trying to stir shit up.
Yeah, let the other agencies know, even though they already knew that they were doing it. Now they're, like, wanting to show, like, hey, we're straight up going to these people. Like, you better start prepping. But, yeah, basically they're putting people on notice.
Yeah.
Like, they knew. Like, I'm fairly sure this guy knew, like, she's not taking it. She's going to go directly to her boss and tell him. But that's what they wanted. That's why I think
he's Master Choi.
That's what I'm saying. He's just a Slugsworth character, if anybody knows who I'm talking about. Just
Everlasting Gobstopper fiend.
That's what I'm saying. Just
he's like, give me one of them Everlasting Gobstoppers.
Wonka, you know, just reports to Wonka low-key, but acts like he's bad.
Yeah, you could be right. My guess is that it's Jin Ho's older brother. But now let's go over to the car ride with Jin Ho and his dad. So we're seeing Mr. Eugene Construction for the first time, and he says, "It's been over a decade since the gates appeared, and the world's changed at a dizzying pace since then. Infrastructure, the economy, the media, even politics. The dungeons have changed all those things. In particular, our infrastructure. The foundation of everyone's lives can no longer operate without the resources from dungeons, and the hunters are the only ones capable of retrieving these vital resources for our world. Those hunters are in turn overseen by the Hunters Association, a public institution." So you were right that the Hunters Association is basically like the government, entity that controls the regulations of the hunters' guilds. So he goes on to say, the association takes awakened hunters, grades them for rank, registers them, and handles oversight. They manage the gates that don't go to auction, as well as deal with the dungeon breaks. But the association is nothing more than a function of the state. The vast majority of these vital resources from dungeons are collected by the guilds, the businesses who hire out hunters as a service. The guilds have become extremely wealthy from the dungeon resources they collect. Among them, the Hunters Guild, the White Tiger Guild, the Reaper Guild, the Fame Guild, and the Knights Guild. So this is why it's confusing, because there's the Hunters Association, but there's also the Hunters Guild.
Yeah, they're just one of the OGs. They're definitely setting up the Reapers Guild to be bad. You gotta have a shady guild that's in there killing people. It's definitely the Reapers Guild.
Maybe that's who Dong Su works for, the younger brother to Dong Suk.
Yeah, maybe.
That's out for blood.
I mean, they're definitely, you don't get a name like the Reapers Guild without being bad in a show like this.
Yeah, so we know the Hunters Guild, we've seen them, and we've seen the White Tiger Guild, but we have never seen anybody from Reaper Guild, Fame Guild, or the Knights Guild.
Knights Guild's a bunch of squares.
Yeah, they definitely have, like, if you were 10 years old and you were picking a name for your guild in like an RPG like RuneScape,
Knights Guild,
that's the name you pick, because I mean, you have no creativity at that age.
It's like, it's not a bad name, but it's like, that's It's all you got? Like this is, we got skyscrapers out here right now. You ain't a knight.
Yeah. It's either Knight's Guild or Dragon's Guild. Like those are your two options.
Yeah, I would have went with Dragon for sure.
And then White Tiger Guild's not far behind, but at least it's a unique type of tiger. It's like the Red Dragon Guild. But these are the largest five guilds in the country. Basically, they have a functional monopoly on the dungeon-related profits. And this guy plans to get in on some of that action. He's like, I haven't sat back for the past 20 years and built an empire just to see all these freaking gates take it all away. I think that the big takeaway here is that Jin Ho has a massive amount of pressure on him from his father to make this work.
I feel like he's putting it on himself because they didn't ever even want him. Like, he doesn't want him to be the guild master. His older brother's supposed to be, but it's like he's trying to do it to, like, usurp him in a way.
I don't know. I mean, his brother doesn't even have unlocked abilities.
But his dad still wanted him to be the guild master, but he's just trying to, like, low-key usurp him. Like, well, I got my shit unlocked. I'm going to start on this and prove myself to my dad.
Yeah.
Which is still pressure, but I don't feel like his dad is, like, being like, you better do this. But in general, obviously, he's the type of dad who just probably thinks he's a piece of shit anyways. Just in general... Just don't like
he's
his,
the youngest.
I mean, just one of them. Just seems like one of them dads who just in general thinks his kids aren't worth a shit.
Yeah, that's how that tends to happen whenever you have a dad that gets so wealthy. They're like, my children will never amount to what I've done. They're all pieces of shit, even though it's their fault for spoiling them. So the next scene is Jinwoo. He's basically trying to do additional activities for the day to unlock, you know, extra stuff like he did with the cursed loot box and the blessed loot box. He's not able to get the cursed loot box like he wants to. And he's making it sound like if presented with the option again, he'd take it. He already wants to know what's in the cursed loot box. And I'm not sure I'm ready to find out what's in there. The name is just, like we talked about, I have a feeling it's not just going to be a cursed item. It's going to be like, for the next 2 months, all of your stats go down 55% or something like that.
I mean, it'd be a steep price to pay, but yeah, it's possible.
That's the kind of shit that happens in solo leveling, though. But next scene, Jinwoo and all the old team members get texts for a urgent D-rank dungeon mission. So the request is coming from the Hunters Association. Again, that's the government entity, not the guild. And this is whenever he's walking in the street, and he doesn't even want to take this job, Jinwoo, but he's talking about, like, well, I can't just freaking wait around for these 19 raids. I guess I'll go. And that's when he says, this is frustrating. Because he's, like, so strong, and he's got to fucking go on these D-rank dungeon raids. And then even when he goes in these, he can't fight. He even acknowledges, like, I'm not even going to be able to fight.
Yeah, he can't. I mean, he could, though. Like, now that he's got, like, a good weapon, he can just be, like, I saved up. And, like, he can, like, backstab a couple goblins. Like, yeah, he can't go out there and just absolutely wreck. But, like, he can get some scraps for sure. Or, like,
he could just go in there with nothing but his freaking hand and like, karate chop people's heads off.
Yeah, I know, but he can't show those people, but if he has a good weapon, he can be like, it was a gift, or I saved up for it. And, like, maybe he could come in while they're about to finish a goblin, stab a few in the back, and be like, I've been practicing on my assassination. Like, there's a way he could, like, contribute and, like, make a little bit of the cut, you know?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, right. Like, they kind of
he ain't gonna level
up,
but he could get some, he could get some skrill. He could get some essence stones.
This is just about money. This ain't about getting stronger. This is rent.
This is some booze that he can't even get drunk on.
It's like the opening says, he's got to pay the bills.
Yep. I got to pay the bills. So we go over to Mr. Sung. He also gets the text. And it looks like our guy, Mr. Sung, he's running a little dojo operation.
Yeah,
he's
a kendo master.
So do you think that was his dojo, or he just is a gym member there and happens to be a master?
Oh, shit. I mean, yeah, I guess I didn't outright say. I assumed he was, like, the kendo master. Like, that was his kendo academy, and, like, he took on students.
That's kind of what I'm thinking too. I'm thinking that they did imply he's running that dojo. It's his. That's his main source of income, and he does the hunting on the side to help society because he's such a good guy.
Yeah. Well, he's got some skills, obviously,
with the sword, but doesn't mean shit in the dungeons because he has no physical powers.
Them swords, though. Those swords that got powers, you know. He can do some damage with them.
No, that's what he said. Like, him having a magical sword doesn't do anything either.
He can't even kill anything?
He uses magic in the dungeons. That's what he was talking about, how fate is twisted and like...
I thought he was still...
I'm sure there's some reason that fate gave me this.
So he'd like, just be 20 like, years of... cast spells and shit. He uses no sword skills. Oh, okay.
Exactly. He has sword skills, but they mean nothing in the dungeons. Even if it's like one of those weapons, that's not what how his power works.
Gotcha.
Because he's like he's a mage.
Because I was thinking, that's it ain't all that bad, like, shit. Like, yeah, it sucks that you can't contribute, but at least you can still stab some goblins. But yeah, he's just straight ranged attacker, I guess.
Yeah, because on his way to the dungeon, he was talking about how, you know, 20 years of training with the sword, all to, you know, become a hunter and find out I have no physical power. So going into a dungeon with a sword does me no good. And he was talking about how fate has a sick, you know, mind, but he's sure that it's going to make sense one day. And for me, when they were saying that, I'm like, damn, they are priming this guy for a death. Like, here's my prediction. I'm thinking, you know, in the opening song, we see our boy Jinwoo gets a little eye on his hand. Looks like the Jagan eye that he has on his forehead, but it's on his hand. This thing is like sucking up people's like life energy, powers, I don't know, blood, whatever it is. My prediction is that Mr. Sung is going to die and somehow, and Jinwoo is going to get to suck up his power, and so now he is going to have magic like Sung did, and that's going to be the whole reason why Mr. Sung had magic instead of physical abilities, was so that he could pass it on. That's just a wild prediction, but that's kind of feel like a that's kind of how I feel that this is going. They're priming this dude for a death.
Yeah, I don't know about everything you said. Like, yeah, that I could see that making sense, and it would tie in with the opening. But I don't even know. It may have been like episode 2 or 3 where I said this dude's dying.
Dude, I think this guy's dying next week. Like, I'm thinking they walk in this dungeon. It's a setup. They take his other arm, and then they kill him.
I think next week they'll like have an episode, and they'll do like, you know, the dungeon shit as they do, and then it'll be much like episode 2, where it's like they get to like the end part or whatever, and then like, yeah, but he's dying in the next 3 episodes for sure.
Yeah,
gruesomely.
So we go over to Kim. This is the old guy who looks like he's straight up from Attack on Titan. He has a little moment with his wife and daughter before he heads out to the mission. He's not a bad guy. He just wanted to see his wife and kids. I think that they were just trying to show us, like, this guy's a human, man. Like, it wasn't that he wanted other people to die. He just didn't want to die himself.
Yeah, I mean, shit, in a pinch moment like that, like, it ain't the worst thing.
He didn't really
do
anything wrong.
It's not the worst thing anybody's ever done. Like, I'll say that about him. Like, I don't think he's a piece of shit by any means.
Yeah.
Dude had two healthy legs and he could run.
Two daughters at home. Yeah, he wasn't about to. We go over to Joo-hee. She also gets the text. She stands up to her mother over the phone. She's like, just let me live my life. You know, they're trying to get us to care about her, and it's just not quite there yet, but maybe we'll get there.
Yeah, because it's like she does suck at her job, essentially, so it's like, yeah. Family business don't sound like too bad of an alternative, but
yeah,
I get it. Huh. Yeah, they're trying to like, she's facing her fears and stuff, but yeah, she's been pretty. But I mean, she was, I guess she's all right, because on these low level raids, it was just that one in a million raid. But it's like, if I was one of them, I'd be like, I'm not going. Like, if it's all of us back together, something's up.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? Obviously, this is definitely a setup from somebody.
Yeah, I don't think it's, like, coincidental. I don't know if, like, the association set it up so they could check out Jinwoo or see like what happened with these guys, why'd they live. But then also those little criminals, like somebody's like, remember there's that cutaway, they're like, make sure they die. So mm-hmm. then I'm thinking that maybe the Dong Suk's brother somehow got these criminals and he's like, make sure you kill that fucking Jinwoo. And well, the only thing is that he wants to kill Ju-ho too.
Jin-ho.
Maybe he's just taking them one at a time. But yeah, it's definitely not just like, oh, we're the only hunters available. I get that they're all like in that same lower realm and take these kinds of missions, but it just seems a little like somebody would have had like a stomach bug and not been able to make it, but they're literally all the survivors are there.
I definitely think that there's a dark side to this Hunters Association. What I think that guy that was like, please kill them. He said, please, I'm begging you. They have to die. What I think it is somebody more still mourning the death of whoever their family member was that did die in the Temple of the Gods. And he wanted to round up the rest of the survivors and make them die too, because nobody should have lived if their person couldn't. I don't think that guy that is putting the hit on these people is necessarily, you know,
Dong
a playmaker.
Yeah. Just like a rando.
I think he's just a rando, and Kang, we'll get to that part. But yeah, I do think that there's obviously that layer other than what's in the dungeon of what the ulterior motive going on behind the scenes is for rounding up all these people. We go over to Guildmaster Choi. This is the guy with red hair. He's got the brass knucks on. And he's talking to Yun-ho, which is the strong guy. This is the guy that punches gigantic blocks in the gym and then tells people to clean it up. And it's not even a warm-up. So he's basically there, tells him that Yujin Construction's getting ready to launch their own guild. He's like, yeah, I already know that. Why'd you really call me here? Basically, he wants to take back Jeju Island, which is the island from episode 1 that resulted in a dungeon break that they could not defeat all the ants in. So this place is still running rampant with fucking insects. He says, since the failed raid, the island has been sealed off with only occasional reconnaissance done from the shore, and the public receives a single annual update about any changes. People are trying to forget about the island and the terror it represents, except no matter how commonplace gates may have become, or how much I get fawned over as the ultimate weapon of humanity, I can never forget about that island or what happened there. I intend on clearing that island in the near future, and to do that, I need you and the others on the same page. We must gain strength, gather allies, and sway public opinion. And then he asks Yun-ho, the strong guy, isn't there something you left behind on that island as well? And then we go over to him. He's drinking some whiskey with some ice. And he says, Eun-suk Byung-gu, which was the... I'm so glad I wrote all these names down. That's the lightning swordsman from episode 1. So they're implying that this guy got left behind, presumed to be dead. Because it's been a long time. On account, they say annual updates. That implies it's been at least a year. This red-haired guy seems like he's a good guy. What is your feel?
I mean, yeah, Guildmaster Choi. They're definitely making him out to be, but it's just like, typically, like, I don't know, just the dudes with glasses that, like, push them up and shit and, like, their eyes go dark. Like, they usually got, like, a hidden agenda.
Yeah, like,
he might legitimately, like, be good. Like, he's probably not evil, but he's definitely got, like, ulterior motives where he's like, well, I got to do this to get this, like, because then it'll make me stronger and I'll be more power here. Just, I mean, that haircut and those glasses and his position, like, he's up to something. That's just common knowledge.
Yeah, I think he was also the same guy that was talking about in a past episode how their guilds are nothing compared to like the global scale of guilds. Like they're only big in their country, not on like a worldwide level.
Yeah, he's probably going to be like trying to consolidate the major 5 guilds and be the head of them all or some shit.
Yep.
Or destroy the other guilds, who knows.
He's definitely up to something, you're right. We get the creepy hostage guy. says, please, I'm begging you, they have to die. We've never seen this dude before. I mean, we've already guessed at what he could possibly be talking about. I don't think it's the hit. I think that the hit coming from Dong-Soo is going to be, like,
personal, like
him,
he's going
him
himself.
Personally. Yeah. I think it's going to be him personally going and doing it, because he's going to want to see them die. Now we go back over to the old crew. I call them the D-ranked Dungeoneers. They reunite. Mr. Sung is thinking about how fate must have its reasons for this, talking about his power not being physical, and he has to use magic in dungeons. When he sees Jinwoo for the first time, he can't believe how much he's grown. He also notices that his leg is back. I feel like it's kind of believable that somebody changes a lot. I don't know. I just feel like between Mr. Sung and Joo-hee, somebody would have been like, whoa, 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 whoa. What? Whoa, 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 whoa. Dude, who the hell are you?
Yeah, but
like,
I mean,
it's
shit,
so
it's just
different.
Like, at the same time, it's like, what else could it be? Like, if you're like a 23, 24-year-old, grew, you know, 3 inches and lost some body fat and got ripped in like a couple months, like, you know, you're not going to be like, that's some extraterrestrial,
I guess you're right,
godlike, legendary shit. You're just going to be like, well, he had a late growth spurt that stretched out his fat. Not that he was fat before, but you know what I mean? And then he just put on some muscle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's nothing really else you can do. Like, you can't be
suspicious.
I mean, maybe steroids or something.
Yeah, so Joo-hee says, it's you. It really is you. You look like a totally different person. You're so much taller and your leg is healed. I guess you were fine after I visited you after all. Mr. Kim's there. And then the other guy with the bandana, who kind of looks like a My Hero Academia character. He looks like one of the Vestiges, the guy that has the black whip. His name's Mr. Kang. Oh, no, that's not Mr. Kang. Mr. Kang is the purple-haired guy. I don't know what the bandana guy's name is. But they're about to go in the dungeon, and the three cronies, they arrive. And at first, I was thinking, what the hell? They're seriously about to go in here with these freaking convicts? I was like, holy shit. What were you thinking whenever these guys rolled up in the van? And the first thing they say is, nice, we got a fine little lady in the group. What's up, baby? You and this guy an item? You should play with us.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty stupid, but I mean, I guess if they, like, Mr. Kang's there, I'm assuming he's pretty strong and he could, you know, they say he could F him up if he needed to, but if you're going to have criminals do it to reduce their sentence, it'd make more sense to just straight up send 8 criminals in by themselves.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Like, why put him with a group of normies or, like, regular people? So, I mean, it's all for the plot, but, like, actually, like, I would probably, if I was one of those people, be like, I'm not going to go. Like, I don't trust them. Like, my life's on the line. Not even just because you're worried they're going to kill you, but it's just...
Oh, my gosh.
You
got to
kind
of,
like, you got to rely on your teammates and shit.
I just literally thought of a whole nother theory of the guy saying, please, you have to kill them. He says, please, I'm begging you, they have to die. They, meaning plural. I guess it could be singular. What if it was Kang standing there talking to that guy, and he was begging him to kill one of those convicts for something?
Yeah, and for all we know, now that you say that...
So that they don't lower their sentence.
This could be a way to just get rid of some clear out the prisons, you know? They're getting overcrowded. Tell them they're going to get some years off their sentence and then they just fucking massacre them in there.
It's very possible, both in an anime and in real life, for the higher powers to make those kinds of decisions. But yeah, you're right. That could very well be what's going on, and it could be that Kang has already decided, I'm killing all three of these convicts as soon as we get in there, and then he's going to make everybody in there sign an NDA that they were witnesses to the death and that they'll never dispute it. I don't know.
I'll get a payout, too.
Yeah, I'll get a payout.
10 million won.
It's just it's an interesting group going into this dungeon, but... There was one point whenever everybody starts... So when Mr. Sung starts apologizing to Jinwoo for letting him lead. He says, "Thank you for giving me this chance. On that day, 7 people died because of me. The magnitude of my failure to protect everyone cannot be understated, but the 6 of us did survive because of you. So let me say this, as a representative of the others, I'm so grateful to you." This kind of sparks Mr. Kang, like, wait a minute, I've seen this dude before. And he's like looking at the back of his head. And I think this is when Mr. Kang, the purple-haired guy, realizes this is the dude from the hospital that pulled a 10 on the manometer, the lowest score of all time.
Oh, I thought he already knew that was him.
I don't think that he did. I think that he was like putting the pieces together, like, wait a minute, I recognize this dude. Like, these are the survivors from that freaking dungeon.
Yeah, I just assumed already knew he was going to be the one there or something, but I wasn't paying attention hard enough. I thought he was in, like, we need to see, because I still think they got these people together for a reason. But yeah, it could just be straight coincidence if he's like shocked that that's him.
Yeah, I think that the...
Because they were, he did see him get the 10, but then they like re-came back on the radar after they are the 2 survivors from Dong Suk's crew. And they were like, what, those 2 made it?
So the Hunters Association did pull this team together. But this guy, Mr. Kang Taishik, he is from the Hunter Association surveillance team. So he may not have been privy to like why they summoned this group. But this group definitely was summoned on purpose. I definitely don't think it's a coincidence. But they head off into the dungeon. Ending song plays. Freaking best ending song of 2024 so far, in my opinion.
It's because you ain't watching Free Run, kid.
Is that shit good?
That shit goes hard as fuck. I mean, it's not actually, doesn't go hard AF. It's more of like a melodic song. But
okay.
I mean, this one kind of is too, the Craig. But I'm taking Malay, the Free Run ending. Anytime, anywhere is what it's called.
Well, we'll see. Maybe I'll start that shit.
You need to. It's you'll like it. Like, it's that good.
Free Run. Well, next week's episode is episode 9. We don't know if this is a 12-episode season or a 24 or what, but...
Pretty sure it's 12, they said, or Colton said, before we started. So...
So we know the line that our boy Jinwoo is going to say next week, because they name every freaking episode. It's called, "You've Been Hiding Your Skills."
Who's he going to say that to? Mr. Kang? Or
I'm not sure, but he's saying it to somebody for sure, because it's never something anybody else says. It's always what he says.
They need to just name one episode fuck. Just like, fuck.
Yeah. Or fuck me. You've been hiding your skills. I bet it is going to be Mr. Kang. Who else could he be talking about? He knows old Mr. Sung's skills.
Yeah.
Oh, it could be Ju-hee. It could be Ju-hee.
They know she's good. They know she's fucking good. She's just fucking
mentally.
Yeah,
but she's been holding back. She's like the Hinata of this show. She's got so much untapped potential.
Yeah, possibly. Or one of the prisoners.
Definitely not one of those guys. Maybe, though. But that's all I got for this week. It was another great episode. Loving the show so far. Loving the music. The only thing that does suck about it being a 12-episode season is we won't get a new opening and ending halfway through. That's the only plus side to having 2 cores.
Yeah, but sometimes it's better just to run that shit through all the way, 60, 70 episodes.
That's true. You got anything else to add before we wrap up?
Nope, thanks for listening.
All right, everybody. Well, I'm Jordo.
Brennan.
We are the Evans Bros, also known as the Casual Anime Fanatics. Thank you all for listening. Have a great week. And as always, peace out.